Welcome to The Natural Planet. My name's G, and together we will explore the wonders of nature. Welcome back, and today we will be looking at rescued leopards. Now, you may or may not know that the leopard is the most widespread big cat, and it owes its success to a varied diet, which includes basically eating anything that it can find: gazelles, jackals, baboons, storks, rodents, reptiles, and even fish. As an agile climber, it often drags its kill into the safety of high branches. Or alternatively, it will climb a tree and wait in the branches to ambush prey, such as a deer or a wild pig. And more than that, it even has the ability to seize primates and birds from the branches. So you can see how the cat has evolved to find enough food so that it doesn't go hungry. Now, there are 8 subspecies of leopard, so we'll skip through them very quickly. There's the African leopard in Africa, the Indian leopard in India, the Javan leopard in Java, Indonesia. There's the Arabian leopard, which is native to the Arabian Peninsula. Then there's a leopard which has no name, which is native to eastern Turkey and southern Russia. Then there's the Amur leopard, which belongs in the Russian Far East and northern China. The Indo-Chinese leopard, which is mainly in Southeast Asia. And finally, the Sri Lankan leopard, which of course is native to Sri Lanka. But despite being found in a varied number of places, it is listed as vulnerable because leopard populations are threatened by habitat loss and fragmentation and are declining in large parts of the globe also, unfortunately, due to being hunted for their skins. In fact, contemporary records suggest that the leopard only now occurs in 25% of its historical global range. Compared to other wild cats, the leopard has relatively short legs and a long body with a large skull. Its fur is marked with rosettes, which we commonly call spots. It is similar in appearance to the jaguar, but has a smaller, lighter physique. And the leopard itself is distinguished by its well-camouflaged fur, opportunistic hunting behavior, broad diet strength, and its ability to adapt to a variety of habitats, ranging from rainforest to mountain areas. It can run at speeds of up to 36 miles per hour, which means that you probably won't be able to keep up with it. Now, as I mentioned, the leopard is threatened, and between 2002 and 2012, at least 4 leopards were estimated to have been poached every week in India for the illegal wildlife trade in skin and bones. In spring 2013, 37 leopard skins were found during a 7-week-long market survey in major Moroccan cities. And in 2014, 43 leopard skins were detected during 2 surveys in Morocco. Vendors themselves have admitted to importing skins from sub-Saharan Africa. Surveys in the Central African Republic have revealed that the leopard population decreased from 97 individuals in 2012 to only 50 in 2017. And rangers have confiscated large amounts of poison in the camps of livestock herders who were also accompanied by armed merchants. These groups engage in poaching large herbivores, in the sale of bushmeat, and in trading leopard skins throughout the world. And you have to imagine that it must be terrible to simply be hunted just because you actually look quite beautiful. Now, one of the sad results of being hunted is that the baby cubs often lose their parents. And rangers who are employed to protect the animals often find wandering cubs and have to pick them up and take them back to rescue wildlife centers. At these centers, the baby animals will receive emergency care, where they will be examined by specialized vets to determine how old they are, to see if they have any bad cuts or broken bones or obvious illnesses. And then they will be weighed to see if they are underfed or dehydrated. The first job at these centers is then to replace the milk their mother would have given them in the wild. And the vets usually try hand-feeding the cubs with cow's milk using baby bottles. And during this process, the vets need to be extremely persistent because if the little leopards don't accept this artificial diet, they will have little chance of surviving. Once their health is stabilized, animal welfare officers must decide the future of the cubs. Obviously, one aim will be to try to return the cubs to the wild. But without the care and protection of their mother, who, if she is not around, was almost certainly killed by a poacher, the cubs won't stand a chance in the wild. In this case, one of the options is actually to hand-raise the leopard cubs, with the members of the rescue centers functioning as caregivers to the animals. The staff in the centers know that they need to do everything possible to help the cats, especially when these animals are very rare and every single individual matters. So in the cases where these leopards are adopted by the centers, usually a baby is assigned two keepers who will stay with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Throughout such a rehabilitation, the keepers are the only humans who regularly come into close contact with the cats. This way, the cubs will retain their instinctive mistrust of all other humans, which will be essential for their survival in the wild. Once they're on their feet, the leopards will begin to take leashed walks through a natural habitat. The tiny young cats are often nervous as they walk behind their keepers. But the keepers have just one role, and that is to provide security for the animal, much like a foster parent does for a child. After a week or two, the keepers are usually able to remove the leashes so that the animals can climb and jump and run around more freely. Some leopards are actually extremely acrobatic, and they like to climb along branches, swing underneath, and then hang upside down from their hind legs, just like monkeys. Of course, they have to learn which branches are the strong ones, otherwise they're going to fall out of the trees. But of course, climbing skills are not enough for the leopards to survive. They need to be taught to be master predators that stalk and hunt prey, such as monkeys and birds and deer. So to help trigger their predatory instincts, a liver soup is added to their milk formula diet after a few weeks. Of course, when they try to hunt, at first they're trying to catch every animal they see. But they soon learn that there's no point in pouncing on everything, so they'll wait and wait and wait and learn to attack just one prey. After around 6 months of training, very often the animals that are going to be released back into the wild are taken out into a natural habitat, although still kept in cages and on leashes. With their keepers with them, they will begin walking and hunting at night, just like real leopards. And then, after as much training as is necessary, the animals will finally gain their independence and be released into the wild. This will begin with their cage door being left open so that they can come and go as they please. But of course, a little bit of food is left out just in case they need it. In just a few weeks, of course, their natural habitat will function just like a magnet and pull them away from humans and towards where they truly belong. In just a few short weeks, the animals will become completely wild. But before this happens, it's quite common that the cats are fitted with radio tracking collars so that the Centers for Wildlife can keep tabs on them and make sure that they're surviving. And this is how orphaned baby leopards are reintroduced into the natural environment. And as cute as they were as cubs, they are now vicious predators. And it's interesting to note that human beings have always had a great respect for leopards out in the wild, because leopards have often featured in art and mythology and the folklore of the countries where they have historically lived. For example, in Greek mythology, the leopard was a symbol of the god Dionysus, who was depicted wearing leopard skin and using leopards as a means of transportation. In fact, in one myth, the god was captured by pirates, but two leopards appeared and rescued him. Leopards have also played an important role in West African societies, where the leopard was commonly represented on engravings and sculptures and was used to symbolize the power of a king, since the leopard was considered the king of the forest. Furthermore, some African cultures actually considered the leopard to be smarter and a better hunter than a lion, and even harder to kill. In Western society, leopards would also continue to appear in modern media and literature. One of Rudyard Kipling's Just So stories, How the Leopard Got His Spots, tells the story of a leopard with no spots. A leopard also played an important role in one of my favorite films, which was the 1938 Hollywood black and white film, Bringing Up Baby. This starred Hollywood legend Cary Grant, who was uneasy working with the trained leopard, and special effects had to be employed for scenes where the two appear together on screen. So if you haven't watched the film, I can recommend it. It's a bit dated, but you know, it gives you a little bit of a window into the culture and world of the past. So that's it about leopards. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And you can always like and share and subscribe and do all the cool things. That's it for now. You can always let me know as well what animal you'd like me to study next. Wherever you are, have a great day. Take care.